You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex. Industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
Welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. I'm Mike Brewer.
I'm Andy Jay. Hello.
Welcome on board. I'm tell you what I'm going to do, Andy. Open the door, swing it open. I'm going to slide you in next to me in the passenger seat. Put your seatbelt on.
Yep. Clink, clunk.
Yeah, there you go. Let me get the air conditioning set to a nice temperature. Oh, look who's just jumped in the back. It's none other than Mrs. B.
Yay! I always feel guilty sitting in the front.
I know, but guilty. She always lets... Yeah. I always do.
Very polite.
Always polite. She always lets everyone sit in front. You know why? Backseat driver. It's as simple as that. Backseat driver. We actually have a spare seat in the car. So rather than fill it with a celebrity, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we filled it with the celebrity of our audience?
Lovely.
Because we can have our audience guide us through this episode. Because I've had so many people contact me online. When we threw out there about the A to Z of cars, give us a question with A, talk about something with B, C, D. I threw it out there and then my phone sort of melted a little bit.
And actually, Mike, this is kind of uncharted territory for us because we've started chatting to our celebrities, but this is the first time we've kind of tried the A to Z of cars. We're obviously starting with A. That's the big plan. And our special passenger has their own airbag. There you go.
Genius.
We're already in there.
Genius.
Just literally jotted that down while you were talking.
I love that. Well, listen, whilst I just put my foot gently on the accelerator.
Hey, hold on.
Oh, go on. What are you driving?
Oh, what am I driving? That's a very
good... Could be an Aston, could be an Alfa.
Oh, no, there's three of us, remember? Yeah. And there's a spare seat for a passenger in the car. Today, we are in a 1969... Oh, Andy J, I can read you like a book. We're in a 1969 Porsche 2.4 911T.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, you take that.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Because Michelle's little, she can get in the back.
I can.
So we put our passenger in the back as well.
It's got to be small.
Well, it's the audience. Oh. The audience has been crammed into the back.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're going to just shout over the back seat, and they're going to shout their questions to us.
That would be an air-cooled Porsche, wouldn't it?
It certainly would
there
be
you go.
An air-cooled
there you
Porsche.
Go.
There you go. You're doing it. Oh, so, Michelle, are you all right?
I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine. I fit in the back of a Porsche, no trouble.
Yeah, easy. She's pocket-sized.
Yes, I am.
But you can get in touch with us anytime you like, me and Andy. You can find us on the socials. Wheeler Dealer on Facebook, Mike Brewer on Instagram and on Twitter. Believe it or not, I've actually got a TikTok. Just search Mike Brewing. You'll see me out there on TikTok as well. Send us a question. We'll do our very best to answer it. So, you ready?
I've got a challenge for you. For
go on, go for a challenge, go for a challenge.
So, I'm a Newcastle United fan, right? And we have a 6'7" defender called Dan Byrne, big Dan Byrne, local Geordie, plays for the Toon.
6'7".
6'7", he's a big lad. And he
would
did
he fit in a so, Porsche?
No. He
would struggle, to
he
be fair.
He wins every header.
He's good in the air, as you'd expect. However, he scored his first goal a couple of weeks ago for Newcastle and did an amazing dance. It was an astonishing thing. I'd love to see you do his dance. I'll show you a video of it later. That would
you
be my TikTok
do,
challenge
you
for you.
Do,
big Dan Byrne's dance.
Nobody wants to see me dance.
I think everyone wants
yes,
to see
me.
No, they do.
Do you know what happens, right? Let me just tell you about the way the world works, right? The world is a massive planet. It's an organism, right? So if I dance here, so I move around here, somewhere on the other side of the world, an Arctic ice shelf will fall off and plummet into the ocean. It will. It's the ripple effect that will happen. I'll tell you what's happening, right? If you get me out there dancing, there'll be a koala bear hugging a tree, just going up a tree, nice old mighty himself, in Australia. He's holding onto a tree. I go outside, do a dance. The koala bear just fall off the tree.
Oh,
and he will
fair.
Sit on the floor and go, why did that happen? I don't know. Because what he doesn't know is across the other side of the world.
Yeah, you've done the big Dan Byrne dance.
I swung me hips, right? So that's the way the world
works.
Swung my hips. That's the way the world works. Right, so we've asked the audience, right?
Yes.
A to Z of cars, and I said, for the opener, let's do A and B.
This is a bit like Sesame Street, isn't
it?
Today's letter is
Yeah, but, you know, it's good, isn't it? Because I actually wrote a series called the A to Z of cars once, so I was thinking, you know, Aston Martin, Alfa Romeo, you know, you could just, and then Bugatti and Bentley and whatever, you just told a history of these cars.
I mean, I do love an Aston Martin. I think we should have a little chat about Aston Martin, because let's be fair, this is a company that has been through its highs and lows. It says its ups and downs. It had the quirky rebadge last year, which some of us couldn't quite see the difference between the two badges until you look for a few minutes and then you can see they've taken a few lines out. However, it has kind of been a known thing that they have been struggling a little bit, haven't they? And I think they've just released in the last few weeks their final ever ICE engine, and it looks a bit tasty. But then they're going all electric, aren't they?
They are going all electric, like all manufacturers. Aston Martin, though, is kind of ironic, isn't it? It's a brand that was on the slide, and let's face it, they don't sell enough cars to keep a factory going. However, constantly voted the world's coolest brand, aren't they?
Yeah, sexiest car out there.
Sexiest car, coolest brand, all that kind of stuff. So they do have the headlines, but somehow they just can't convert them into sales. And I think that comes down a little bit to reliability, sorry to say.
Well, it's going to be cost as well, though, isn't
and
it, Mike?
Cost.
I mean, there's not many of us floating around that can afford a six-figure car.
No, how much is a Valkyrie?
Mm-hmm. A lot.
A lot, right? And have you seen a Valkyrie in the flesh?
Yes, I have, yeah.
They are quite an eyeful, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're just like every single angle you look at that car, you go, oh, wow, it's amazing.
On track, it is remarkably quick.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. I see a video of that car going down the world's longest tunnel, which is called the Gatesby Tunnel.
Yeah,
which
I know it well.
To one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And I see a car, that car going down at over 300 kilometres an hour in anger, where they were wind tunnel testing that car in reality.
Yeah.
The biggest brick building in the world at the time it was built. And if I could, I wasn't allowed, they showed me the video, if I could have captured the sound of it, it would be on every single petrol head's ringtone.
Really?
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just the sound of earth. It gets to you gutturally.
With
it's
that just, tunnel echo as well, isn't
just,
it?
It was incredible.
What's it sound like, Mike?
Oh, that was very good. I felt you were in pain to start with. But yeah.
Are you okay?
Oh, no, not really. No, somebody get me some water. Is there a defibrillator in the building? You got any more A's for me? That was a good one.
You have had a really good question, I think, which concerns the Alpine, which I like. Which, I mean, technically Renault, but nonetheless, I think we can go down that road, can't we?
We
Alpine's
certainly
fair enough.
Yeah.
It's still
so,
an A.
Right, so this is from Time Traveller.
You've had some great name people
right,
following
this is on
you.
Twitter. I'd like to know, did Mr. and Mrs. Traveller, right, once the kid was born, and they're sitting there with the midwife, and the midwife went, so Mr. and Mrs. Traveller, here's your newborn. What are you going to call it? And they went, time. Time travel.
Boom. Yeah, boom. Or universal.
Look, and this is a good question. With well-designed cars like the Renault Alpine, why do you think cars like this are not so well-designed today? Surely it can't all be about build safety compliance.
So he's talking about the original Alpine rather than the new
I
iteration.
I think he's talking about possibly the new one as well.
Okay.
And let's face it, right? So I always think, and I've had these conversations with the likes of Ian Callum and Peter Aubrey and Peter Stevens.
These are great designers.
These
For
are
people
all
that don't
designers.
Know, these are fantastic car designers.
And I've had these conversations, and I say, you know, building a car, right? Think about the ingredients to build a car. It's a bit like making a cake, isn't it? So you've got a bowl. You're going to put in the bowl, you're going to put your eggs, your flour, your water, your sugar, and then you're going to put chocolate sprinkles and a bit of icing on it. And then when you mix it up and cook it, pop out pops a cake, right? Mm. And that's a cake. The ingredients for a car, whether the car is made by Hyundai or Kia or Aston Martin or Ferrari, the ingredients are all the same. They are glass, rubber, steel. They all go into a mixing bowl. They get swirled around. And then they all make their version of a cake. So the ingredients are the same. It's just the way that the cake is put together is different, right? So they looked at the ingredients of that cake and they went, we can design a car that's actually aesthetically beautiful. And there's no denying the new Alpine is a great-looking car.
Yeah, the Renault Alpine is – have you driven one? I have spent – about 1,000 miles, and it's
a great
fun,
car,
especially on a country
road. It's a great car.
Yeah.
But at the same time, somebody took the same ingredients. Mm. So remember where we are.
Yep.
Somebody took the same ingredients, put them in a mix bowl, stirred them up, and made a PT Cruiser.
Right.
So do you see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
So
why doesn't everyone go, well, it's the same stuff. Why don't we just bend it differently?
Yes. So his question is about compliance, right? So he's saying
why
safety
gets in the way. I mean, look,
but it's also about emissions as well. And I realise this isn't going to be a thing when we go into electrification and everything else. But people probably know, because I'm sure we have a brilliantly informed audience, that manufacturers are held to account by governing bodies for their emissions. So therefore, if you've got a beautiful little filthy V12, you also need. It's the reason why. Aston Martin did the Signet, isn't it? It was to offset the emissions.
That's correct. Right. Yes. But I got in a car the other day. I'm trying to remember for the love of me what car it was. I got into a car the other day. It was a hire car, and I think it was a new Corsa? It was one of the
Vauxhalls.
Right. And I got into this car and I went to turn left, and the A pillar was the size of a house. Right. I could not. Genuinely, I couldn't see through the A. You can't,
Crikey.
You know, you had to bend your head around the A pillar.
Oh, that's not right.
It's not right, is it? That's not right. I also got it, which I think is one of the most phenomenally designed little cars, the new little Peugeot 208.
Right.
I think that's a proper
nice little motor.
Nice little car. Great little car. I drove it. I thought it was a fantastic little car to drive. Can't see the gauges. They've cut the steering wheel in such a way you physically can't see what speed you're doing. Absolutely impossible. You have to look over the top of the steering wheel, look underneath the steering wheel, look through, and you're going, surely there's something that safety got in the way, like it has to be a big airbag, or the steering wheel has to be that far away from the body before it explodes.
So with the A-pillar,
experience.
So you couldn't see past the A-pillar, and it must have been the size it was to support it, and if for crash testing and so on and so forth, for safety, effectively. So what he said, maybe he means the original Alpine, because that was a stunningly beautiful car, but that wouldn't pass the regs now. You know, you look at the original Alpine, which is a thing of beauty, in my opinion. I know some people don't love it, but I personally do. And you look at that, and that's not going to pass the safety tests. It just isn't.
No, it wouldn't do, because it's so delicate, and that's the problem with it. It's got A pillars that are too slender, B pillars and C pillars that are too slender, and, you know, people are more worried about it rolling over on its roof and crushing you and being sued today, which does compromise where we go with cars. And let's face it, I'm going to be quite vocal about this. Almost by default now, every car is churned out by a computer. You know, the ingredients of the cake,
there you go,
get typed into a computer, press send, and then the computer takes those ingredients and bakes what it thinks a car looks like. And they're all starting to look incredibly similar, aren't they?
Well, there is another A we could bring in here, Mike.
Go for it.
AI.
Artificial intelligence, which is scary, to say the least. You know, I don't want to go down the Elon Musk route and say that, you know, us monkeys on the planet are all going to be, you know, warring against each other and pooing everywhere until the AI takes over and says, switch them off. Let's just switch these people off. They've got in the way. But yes, AI is taking an incredible part of our future, especially in terms of electrification of cars, because now you can jump in an electric car. I got in a Tesla the other day, and when the battery is depleted, it's the AI is saying, well, there's a place you can charge it up just down the road.
Yeah.
Why don't I just guide you there? And it's telling me how I should be driving the car. So, yeah, that's definitely on its way. It's scary.
It's also for things like wind tunnels and so on. You know, we're less physical in our design these days because people are creating. I mean, I remember talking to Wayne Burgess, you know, the guy who now works at Ola, the Indian manufacturer of those cool little scooters.
Yeah.
And he's doing some cars with them now. And he was kind of saying, well, yeah, instead of a clay model, you know, we're making a virtual model. We're going into the Unreal Engine and we're sticking on our headsets, and that's how we're doing things. And I imagine there'll still be a degree of physicality. I'm sure they will still be using clay models and wind tunnels for testing and so on. But I think the early start of the process, AI is playing a big part, which is, I mean, it's just emerging and it's how things change, isn't it, and evolve. But nonetheless, like you say, I mean, I'd still feel more comfortable with Ian Callum with a blank piece of paper and a pencil just drawing it out by hand.
Yeah, and I want Ian Callum or somebody like that, or, you know, Jerry McGovern or, you know, Julian. I want those people standing in a studio with a big lump of clay with their hands dirty, you know, with an apron on, rubbing the bodywork into shape. Because ultimately, the most fabulous and most beautiful cars ever designed by humankind We're talking Lamborghini Miura. We are talking cars like the E-Type Jaguar.
Yeah.
Were designed by people who built them in clay models first. They weren't churned out by a computer, were they?
No, they weren't. That was an A that I wasn't expecting. This has taken a number of kind of turns that I didn't think would go
down.
It's
a good A, though, isn't it?
It's a good A.
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast brought to you by the Gardex Group. Gardex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Gardex. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
This episode of the Wheeler Dealer podcast is brought to you by the letter A.
I don't quite know how to bring this in, but I feel we should touch on Audi because I'm not convinced they're a mark that we will discuss very often. For some reason, I'm just not sure it'll come up very often. So I think we should touch on Audi.
Why not touch on Audi? I'm actually restoring an Audi on this TV show that I make that, I do. And I'm restoring an Audi. And
this is the one that's watched by millions and millions of people
around
the world.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous, right, in the sense that it is a family estate car that can crush a 911.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't get me wrong, I love the fact that somebody sat back in a boardroom and went, yeah, let's just take that humdrum family estate car where you can put your two kids in the back and two dogs in the boot.
Yeah.
And let's go from 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. Let's top out limited at 155 miles an hour. Let's have more mid-range torque in this car that if you accelerate hard from a standstill, you will stop the planet and get it going backwards the other way.
It is joyfully silly, isn't it?
It's joyfully silly. Yeah. And I just love the fact that that exists. You know, somebody had the foresight to go, yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Because let's face it, Audi did it. Mercedes did it with the C63 yep. AMG. The people that, and I'm going to go for a B here.
I don't know.
That missed the boat, the people that missed the trick was BMW. What on earth were they thinking when they went, yes, we have the most amazing four-door and two-door coupe, the BMW M3. It's awesome. It's incredible. Everyone loves it. It's quite possibly one of the best handling rear-wheel drive cars of a generation. But let's not make a touring version of it.
No.
I mean, what were they thinking when you got Audi and you got Mercedes, you know, the same three Germans, and BMW just overlooked it. And I think, what were they doing?
Do you know what? I have a feeling when we come on to our Bs, we're going to be talking about the BMW face. I think that's something. Let's not do it now.
No, we're not going to talk. I will say, though, just as a caveat to what I just said, they are listening because it's taken them just over 20 years, but BMW are now printing a BMW M3 Touring. Guess what?
Yeah, shocker.
Shocker.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. Just a last one on Audi, if you will.
Yes.
The TT, where do you stand on it? Hairdresser's car or a thing of beauty?
Oh, I hate when somebody says hairdresser's car.
Because I love
car.
It. I love
yeah,
it.
No, I hate it when somebody says that.
And I mean,
any car.
I love the TT.
No, yeah, no, I just, you know, when somebody gets a Mazda MX-5, someone goes, oh, hairdresser's car, I almost want to slap them say that.
Or actually just take one for a drive, you realise it's awesome.
Yeah, the Mazda MX-5 is quite possibly one of the most fun cars you could have on the planet for 500 quid, right? Because that's how much you can buy one for.
Or 15 grand.
Yeah,
you know,
or 15 grand, whatever. Yeah. The Audi TT, it was a loss leader, that car. Every car they sold it at a loss because they just, it's a mobile advert for Audi. At the time, it was a symbol of where Audi were going with their design language. It was forward thinking. It's absolutely revolutionary. And when they bought out that 225 version, that 6-speed 225 version, awesome car, absolutely incredible car. Quattro four-wheel drive, safe on the roads, looks really cool. All the knobs, dials and buttons inside are all well thought out and well designed. Yeah. And it feels like you're driving something special down the road, not like, you know, something that's boring and ordinary. But because the car was so outlandish and out there at the time, obviously it's going to have a sell-by date where people just go, well, now that doesn't fit for our future.
Right.
It's a bit like goatees. You know, they were a thing of the 90s. Well, they weren't they? Everyone had a goatee in the 90s. Fast forward to today, nobody's got one, have they? Yeah, because they just, you know, it was a thing of a time.
It's the I would say it's the day of the flavour saver now, Mike.
Day of the flavour saver.
That little bit under your lip There are people growing those flavour savers just to, you know, so they can keep their lunches going.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. I never knew
In fact, I'd like you to grow a flavour saver.
No, I never knew it was called that. That's brilliant. That's
nothing to do with cars. But
yeah, I mean, look, we could talk about A's until the cows come home, because you've got cars like Alfa Romeo, which we haven't spoken about. And I'm going to say, because I'm a petrol head, to every single car-loving person out there, heed these words. If you love cars, if you're a petrol head, and if you've never owned an Alfa Romeo in your life, you have to own one.
Wow.
You have to just go and buy one. It doesn't matter what it is. You can go and buy yourself a 155, 156, go and buy yourself a little Alfa Soot, go and get yourself a little Spider, go and buy an Alfa, and then you will absolutely understand the world of motoring. They are unbelievably beautifully engineered and designed cars that are built in such a simplistic way. Yes, they break down and they go wrong and they leak and all the rest of it, but they're built in such a simplistic way, it brings you back to what you fell in love with in the first place with motoring. And I recently jumped into a fairly modern Alfa.
They've got a very new design language.
They have, yeah. That little 4C was an incredible car, right? Yeah. So I recently jumped into a little Alfa after arriving in my Volvo C90, I think it was, hire car.
Okay.
Right, so the Volvo C90 hire car arrive, jump into an Alfa. Get into an Alfa, you have three dials on the dashboard. The three dials will hot and cold, what fan speed you want it and where you want it directed onto the in
love
the cockpit.
That. Nice and simple.
Inside those three dials is your heated rear screen, your heated front screen, your air conditioning button and your parking sensor button, right?
Nice.
That's it.
Nice.
And then you drive the car happily, brilliant, have an amazing time, and then you jump back in the Volvo and there are 52 buttons that are facing you, of which the top banker buttons and the bottom banker buttons are not of the same font.
Oh, man.
The font also doesn't match the font that's on the dashboard in front of you that's telling you what speed you're going. And so you're going, why do I need 12 buttons to direct air to either my feet or to the screen when Alfa can do it with a knob? Just a knob.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Alfa Romeos. Go and buy one, understand them, and you'll feel for why cars are great in the first place. I do this quite popular little car show, and I may have just bought a GTV.
Ooh. Watch out for that.
That lusty V6 engine. What a car.
The other one I want to ask you while we're still on A's, Mike, and we don't want to have to go on A's forever. We'll come to B's shortly for another episode in a few moments. But I never quite know how to say this, right? A bath, a bath. Which one is it?
Well, I say a bath.
Right.
That's what I say. Fiat a bath.
Okay.
That's what I say.
Because they're a bit fun, aren't they?
Oh, they're incredible. I mean, it's that age-old formula, isn't it? Take a tiny car, put a whacking great big engine in it, and off you go. You're going to have fun. I mean,
especially in the 500.
Especially in the 500. Yeah. I mean, it's a sort of, you know, it's the equivalent of driving, you know, think of it. It's the equivalent of driving a Renault 5 GT Turbo in reverse, isn't it? Because it's rear engine. Yes. On the original Abarth, it was rear engine. So, yeah, they are incredible fun. But I actually drove the new Fiat 500 Abarth.
Okay.
And one of the guys that works with me, a guy called David Sitton, he's got one. It's ridiculous. I mean, the thing is ridiculous.
It's crazy quick, isn't it?
It's crazy quick.
It's so light.
Small, light, yeah. Designed by one of our great friends as well, Mr. Frank Stephenson.
I was going to say, it's Big Frank, isn't it?
Yeah, Big Frank, who designed that car. Again, one of the world's most eminent car designers. That guy knows how to put pen to paper.
We'll have to get him on this at some point.
Now, Frank, right, is like the star guest for me. If we had Frank in the studio, I'm going to be beside myself with excitement.
I think we can.
Could we talk to Chessie, our producer? Could we get a lump of clay, like, you know, model size lump of clay, right? Some scalpels, a little couple of shaving things, right? On the desk, video it and sit with Frank and all of us, Mrs. B,
glass,
you, me, Chessie, right, we all go design together. He says, what kind of wheel arches do you want? And we're going to go haunches. And he goes, what kind of sides do you want? We go, low slung sides.
No, Frank Stephenson, I think, is a must-have.
It's a must-have.
But only, yeah, Mike, only if you call him Uncle Frank throughout and never explain why.
Now, that's a really good one. Yeah. He'd go for that.
He would
actually go for that.
Yeah.
Frank Stephenson introduced me to whiskey.
Well, then.
So it was properly. In L.A. He flew out to L.A. I got invited to a whiskey tasting and I said, do you want to be my guest? He went, yeah, sure. So we went along to this whiskey tasting. Couldn't stand the stuff. I hated whiskey. Couldn't stand it. Spent an evening with Frank with him going, no, you're doing it all wrong. Just put that little bit of water in there and let's take that bit of ice and put it in there. Now smell and savour and suck. And I did all these things with Frank. And ever since... I've been...
Hold on. What happened when you got home?
Oh, right. Yeah, so there was quite...
There was quite a funny moment
of the story.
Mike's gone slightly red.
Sorry, I've got a little bit red around the gills. So I drank quite a lot of whiskey on this whiskey tasting evening because I was being taught how to drink whiskey. Frank went to go and get the cab, clearly, because I was in no... state to do anything. So Frank went to go, and then there was all these bottles of sort of half drunk whiskey.
He'd done a Mrs. B.
And I just went round, swept them up.
You're a minesweeper.
And the bloke who was organising the event sort of went, what you did? It was a Scotsman. He went, what are you doing? And I went, I'm taking him. And he went, but you can't take him. I went, yes, I can. Somebody else has paid for this evening, not you. And he went, no, you can't take him. I went, I'm taking him. What are you going to do? Stop me? And he went, no, you have to put them back. You have to put them back. By now, I could see Frank walking towards me like the taxi's here. So I just walked off.
Cuddling
like five bottles of very expensive whiskey. So apparently, Mrs. B will tell you, by the time Frank got me home and tipped me out into the house, I rung the doorbell. Mrs. B come and answered the door.
Yes.
And apparently I held onto the bottles, leant against the wall of the hallway.
And he couldn't move.
Michelle
was holding him up.
Michelle said the wall was high. And I had to slide along the wall.
Making out he hadn't had a drink.
It was just the most fabulous introduction to alcohol anyone could possibly have. And it happened to be with a living legend that is Mr. Frank Stephenson.
Did he have his dumbbells with him? Because he's always working out,
isn't he? He's
always
quite a fit bloke, isn't he, for his age? He's a very fit bloke. A fantastic moment in my life.
So I've got a question.
This is signalling the end of the show.
Signalling the end of the show.
It accelerates you.
Oh, there you go.
Michelle, that's so deep and meaningful. That's why
Absolutely.
I love you so much. What accelerates me? Well, you do, obviously. You know, you've accelerated my life ever since I met you. 34 years ago, you've had your foot flat out on the accelerator.
And you've never... Trying to get somewhere.
Yeah, you've never lifted it off, which is a bit of a weird one. I think, you know, there's a bend coming up. Now lift off the accelerator. Let's coast for a bit, but you won't. No, what's accelerating me? Do you know what? It's funny, isn't it, the word acceleration? Because lots of people out there would like to... fast forward their lives. You know, people could be going through troubles or have issues that they just want to get it over with, want to get through their
life. We've had plenty of them on our journey.
No, but I feel completely the opposite. I feel like I can look back at my amazing life and I would say I'm just kissing the accelerator. I just want to coast along because I've had the most amazing time. I've met some amazing people. I've had amazing experiences. And so I'm not accelerating through life flat out like Michelle is.
I am.
Like she is. I'm just like kissing the accelerator. I'm at 2,000 RPM, maybe 1,000 RPM, just after tick over. And I'm just coasting through. And I absolutely love my life. I wouldn't accelerate through it at all.
Brilliant. So A for amazing.
Andy, there you go, man. Seriously, that's why you're
Andy.
Here.
It's a wrap. Well, it wasn't too difficult, was
no,
it? I just copied
really,
a word you used.
You are the most amazing co-host. You really are.
It's a joy, mate. It's a joy. Listen, thank you so much to those of you that have been joining us today in that passenger seat that we talked about with your own special
airbag.
Yeah, they
can get out now.
Yeah
we're going to park up. But there's another episode waiting for you with somebody that will surprise you. I mean, we've teased this a couple, and if you've looked in your pod app, then you know who it is. He is a singing legend, someone that we were, when we reached out, we were delighted by the immediate, I love Mike, yeah, I'd love to come on.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a weird one because you go, oh, wow, you know, why would that person want to talk to me and what would he have to know about cars?
It's going to surprise you.
And then it really surprised us, didn't it? It was shocking, actually. And he became the coolest person I think I've met this year. I know it's only just the first couple of weeks into 2023.
It's all good, David. It's all good. So, look, if you can see it waiting in your inbox and you've got the time, I thoroughly recommend listening to the next episode with Mr. Matt Goss. If not... bookmark it. come back to it later today or later on in the week, because it is totally worth your time. Those of you that are massive petrol heads thinking, I don't want to listen to a bloke from Bross, it's so worth listening to, isn't it, Mike?
It certainly is. And if you want to rewind as well, you can go back to the previous episode with Richard Hammond.
Yeah, listen to that again. Why not?
Yeah,
it's worth it.
Tick like, subscribe, ring a bell.
Follow.
And follow.
This has been a TVI Media production. We really appreciate your company. And we'll be back in, well, a couple of clicks, in your case.
Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Gardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Gardex. Visit GardexGroup.com. Ta-la!